We're this morning looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And we read verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. And here in this passage, the Apostle Paul, Peter, takes up the subject of spiritual leadership in the church. In these verses, he addresses both elders and congregants as to their respective responsibilities. There are two levels of leadership we find in the local church. Two levels of leadership that God has set up for the smooth, effective functioning of the local church, that of elders and that of deacons. Paul, in his pastoral epistles, addresses the matter of elders and deacons, but this is not Peter's concern here. Peter is particularly concerned with the role of elders. It's always useful and healthy for a church to visit and even revisit this subject of leadership in the church, to periodically examine what the Bible teaches concerning various offices in the church, because oftentimes misinformation and ignorance on these matters create confusion and even tension in the assembly. And so this morning we want to look at 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 1 to 4, or rather verses 1 to 5. And suggested in this passage are at least four matters, four things related to elders. First of all, we see in this passage the idea of their plurality. Go through the book of Acts and the epistles, and what you'll find very, very clear, explicitly clear, is the reference to a plurality of elders. Just as there's a plurality of deacons, there is a plurality of elders. In the book of Acts, which chronicles the history of the first century church, we find repeated references to a body of elders. Acts chapter 11, verses 29 and 30 tell us that the church was determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. They sent it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. In Acts chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, when Paul and Barnabas had very strong debate with some men on doctrinal matters, the Bible tells us in Acts 15, verses 1 and 2, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this matter. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul is instructing Titus, and he gives this instruction there in Titus 1, verse 5. He says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." Indeed, what becomes clear from these references, these and other references, is that it was never God's intention It was never God's plan that leadership in the church be vested in any one individual. Leadership in the church, particularly as we find it in the book of Acts, throughout the New Testament, the pastoral epistles, is very portrayed as a cooperative team endeavor. Often in studies like these, it's useful for us to take time out for correcting and clarifying areas of error and misunderstanding. And there are some things that we must bring to mind when we talk about the role of elders, even the term elders. And the first thing we want to say is this, that the term elders, bishop, pastor, are used interchangeably in reference to one and the same person. Now, I know in some churches you have the pastor, then you have the elders, then you have the deacons. What we want to establish clearly from Scripture is that, properly speaking, that is not biblical, that is not accurate. These three terms, pastor, bishop, and elder, are one and the same person. And here's a very concise illustration of this truth. Over in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, we read how that Paul sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. So here to begin with, Paul goes to Ephesus. He calls for who? The elders of the church. So once again, we notice their plurality. In verse 28 of that very chapter, Paul addresses these men, these elders, as follows. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he says to these elders, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." That word overseers is the Greek word episkopos, from which we get episcopal or bishop. So he says, the Holy Spirit, he's speaking to these elders, has made you bishops to shepherd. And that word shepherd comes from the Greek word from which we get our English word pastor. So if we look at what Paul is saying there, he's addressing these elders and he's saying to them in Acts 20 verse 28, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops, to pastor the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." In Titus chapter 1, Paul, in his instruction to Titus to appoint qualified elders, verses 5 and 6, switches his terminology in verse 7 to characterize these men as bishops. And you'll notice right here in our text, 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter exhorts, first of all, elders, verse 1, to shepherd, that is to pastor the flock of God. Verse 2, exercising oversight. The Greek word there has to do with bishop. So we have two references, Acts 20, verse 28, First Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, in which elders, pastors, bishops are used interchangeably, referring to one and the same person. Properly speaking, then, we need to note the following. Number one, from the biblical perspective, there's really no distinction between a pastor and an elder. These terms identify not two, but one and the very same person. As we said, there is no distinction between a pastor and a bishop. There is no distinction between a bishop and an elder. These three terms, pastors, bishops, elders, are one and the same. Secondly, based on what we have just said, we need to make the point that there is actually no such thing as the pastor of a church. Now, you need to bear with me. You need to follow me very carefully, because we're taking this bit by bit and we're going to be explaining and we're going to making it very, very clear. If we take the biblical position as it is stated here for us, properly speaking, there is really no such thing as the pastor of a church. Why? Because as we have established, whenever leadership of the church is contemplated in Scripture, there is the notion of a plurality of leaders. So here's Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Notice, he addresses them in verse 1 of chapter 1. He addresses not the pastor. He addresses not a pastor. What does he say there in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1? He says this: Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. What is a church? A church consists of people who are saints. I'm looking this morning, I trust, at a bunch of saints. Can I use the word bunch? A group of saints. I'm looking this morning at a group of saints. It's not something that we attain to after we die and then somebody, in terms of honoring us, we go through a process of what they call canonization. No, every single believer in Jesus Christ has become a saint. Why? Because the word saint is related to the word holy, is related to the word sanctify, which means to set apart. But notice here, among the saints, Paul singles out two classes of people. And let me pause to say this, that when we use the word class or level, it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with prestige. It has absolutely nothing to do with eminence. It has to do primarily with function. So who are the saints and how are they categorized? Paul says here, these are the saints in Christ Jesus. And he says we're in Philippi, including, watch this, the overseers and deacons. So again, only two classes of leadership. We do not have apostles today. We do not have prophets. Those are gone. We no longer have need for those. God, Paul writes the pastoral epistles and he lays out church order. And what we have in the church in terms of leadership are two categories, maybe that's a better term, two categories of leadership in the form of elders, stroke pastors, stroke overseers, bishops, and deacons. But notice, Paul, as I said, did not address a pastor nor the pastor. In fact, one writer has aptly noted, he puts it like this: these elders were the acknowledged leaders of the local church. There was no one above them in a local congregation. If there had been some pastor or leader in the background, Paul's conduct would have been extremely unethical in summoning these elders to give them his instructions while ignoring the pastor. But Paul did not do this because there was no pastor in the background to ignore. These men collectively were the local leadership of that church, end quote. Now, related to this point that there's no such thing as the pastor, properly speaking, because there being a plurality of leadership in elders or bishops or pastors, then we need to make this point that the pastor, as popularly termed, is not the one who runs the church. The pastor, as popularly understood, is not the one who runs the church. Fourthly, biblically speaking, there's really no such thing, we want to make this point as well, there's no such thing as the ruling elder of a church. All elders carry out a ruling function. If you look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, 1 Timothy 5, 17, the grammatical force of this verse suggests that there are not two classes or grades of elders. Notice from these verses that elders both rule and teach. But Paul says there in 1 Timothy 5:19, he says this: the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. So it is very clear there that those who labor in preaching and teaching also what? Rule. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12 says of elders that they have the charge over you and give you instruction. Notice there a dual function, ruling and teaching. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17 says they lead you and speak to you the word of God. So there you have in these references the conjoining of ruling and teaching. And then we need to make this point that elders, being in a plurality, are equal in authority. I'm going to give you a nice phrase that we can capture all that we have said, and you can write this down. When we talk of eldership, when we talk of leadership in the form of eldership, we're talking about plurality and parity of authority. Plurality and parity, that is equality of authority. Now let me answer the question, because there are some problems, obviously, that some people might see in terms of the discussion so far. And the point we need to make, some by way of clarification, is this, that in a setting where we have a plurality, parity, authority, where elders are equal in authority, notice, as you read through Scripture, one of the things that becomes clear, notice particularly as you read the book of Acts, there is usually, especially when some problem arises, some decision needs to be made, there's usually a spokesperson. We see Peter getting up and he's addressing the church. We do not find everybody getting up and speaking at the same time. Now, what I think it is better to say, rather than a situation of what is popularly called the ruling elder, is a situation more where we can describe that individual as more of a spokesperson or a coordinator, or what we could say in some places, a chairperson. We cannot use the word the ruling for the simple reason that it is not, properly speaking, biblical. And what we need to understand, yes, we need to understand that there has to be a unified voice in terms of leadership. And so it boils down to a situation where in terms of function, in terms of there being an orderly function, we have one voice really who is really speaking on behalf of the team. Now how that is worked out really, there are many ways in which that can be worked out. We're talking about situations where in terms of experience, level of maturity, obviously here, if you have a situation where you have an elder who is inexperienced, an elder who does not have the level of experience, the years of experience as a more seasoned person, then, you know, what you would do in that situation, you want to have a person who is more senior being a sort of coordinator. But ultimately what we are talking about is that there is an equality in terms of authority. The next thing we need to look at from this passage, we see not only their plurality but their authority. Let's look at something here of their authority. And how must we see this in the passage? Whereas we need to note, elders have charge over the church according to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. Yes, they do have charge over the church. Notice verses 1 and 2 of Peter. We can make these observations. Number one, they are to be among the people, not merely above the people. Elders are to be among the people, not merely above the people. Notice what Peter says. I exhort the elders among you, shepherd the flock of God among you. Oh, I don't know if we can make a great deal of the preposition among, but certainly one of the things We can say, at least from a practical standpoint, suggested in this word among, is that elders are to be people persons. An elder is to be a lover of God's people, so much so that he desires, his heart's desire is to be with them, is to be among them. Elders cannot be distant. Elders cannot be dispassionate. They're to spend time with the people. Peter speaks of the elders among you. He says the flock of God who is among you. They are to be with the people. Their ministry is not to be one of just preaching and presiding. Their ministry, we could say, is to be one of presence. To be among the flock, to be among God's people, elders, it means then that elders have to be accessible and elders have to be approachable. They're to be among the people. So in a real sense, we could say that there's really no such thing as shepherding or pastoring, carrying out the function of an elder, carrying out the function of a pastor, carrying out the function of a bishop in absentia. What must we then say today of some of these so-called mega churches in which after the pastor has ended, he is being whisked away, he is quickly going to catch his jet? What must we say of some of these so-called media churches in which there's one church with various campuses? These people in distant places have never really spent time with the pastor. The pastor has never really spent time with them. It's through a flat screen television. You know, one cannot read the New Testament without seeing it very clear that there is need for presence in pastoral ministry. Romans chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's distant from these people, away from them, physically distant. He says this, always in every prayer of mine, making requests, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you. He says, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far that I may obtain some fruit among you, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. Here was the Apostle Paul, great theologian, great writer of epistles. Churches benefited from his letters, but he says, I want to be among you. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 17 and 18, he says, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while in person, not in spirit, we were all the more eager with great desire to see your face, for we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. The aged apostle John, and tradition has it, there's a time when he was laid up, he could hardly travel, he had to be carried around. John is writing, and he says there in 2 John 1, verse 12, though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be full. What are we talking about there? A ministry of presence. Interestingly, in James chapter 1, verse 27, where James describes pure religion as this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, the very word visit is the very word from which we get our English word overseer or bishop. So pastors, first of all, elders, he suggests, in terms of their authority, yes, they are over the people. They are not just to be merely over the people, they are to be among the people. Now let's make this practical and let's draw truth from this. If elders are to be among the people, then it means that the people must want to be among the elders. How often is it? I'm not saying it never happens in this church, but you know, oftentimes you're going to visit someone and somebody, instinctively people react, well, what have I done now? Why are the pastors coming to, I must have done something wrong. They must have heard that I've done something wrong. The truth is, it should be the norm to expect to be visited by your elders, your pastors. Secondly, as regards the authority of the elders, we notice they are to be overseers, not overlords. They are to be overseers, not overlords. Look at verses 2 and 3. He says there, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not as lording it over those allotted to your charge. Among other things, what this means is that they're not to be rough and overbearing. They're not to be abusive. They're not to be bossy. They're not to be domineering. They're not to be imperial. They're not to be dictatorial. They're not to be tyrannical. They're to take charge without being controlling. And let me just make a point here, because very often there's a tendency sometimes to confuse authority with authoritarianism. Elders are to lead with authority, and sometimes that authority has to be asserted. Sometimes that authority has to be firmly asserted. Why? Because sometimes it's not easy to lead the people of God. In fact, if you look at verse 5 of our text, 1 Peter 5, verse 5, after Peter addresses elders, he turns to the others and he says, you younger ones, submit to the elder, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Part of the reason, part of the problem in many churches why elders have difficult times is because God's people are not humble. But the point we're making here is this. They are to take charge without being controlling. They are to exercise authority without being authoritarian. They are to lead not by manipulating, but by modeling. In fact, look at verse 3. Peter says, they're not as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. The Apostle Paul recognized the limits of spiritual leadership, the limits of his own authority over the Corinthian church when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 24 these words. He says, not that we lord it over your faith, but we are workers with you for your joy. It's not in our province to dictate against your conscience. It's not in our province to bend your will, to assert such might, such force, to lead you where you do not want to go. Yes, we ought to be firm with the word of God, but ultimately, among other things, the word of God says, he says, we should be gentle. Elders are not to lord it over those allotted to their charge. They're not to dominate the people of God. They are not to manipulate them. That is why you find among the qualification of elders in Titus chapter 1 verse 7, among the things that Paul says concerning them, he says they should not be self-willed. And that word means self-pleasing. In other words, they should not insist on having their own way. It's like somebody says, well, it's my way or the highway. No. Among the requisites for elders, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3 are these. They should not be pugnacious. The King James Version says they should not be a striker. It doesn't mean that we strike from work. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying there is about knocking fist. Do you know in some settings people actually become physical? Whether in a literal or figurative sense, they should not be ready to strike fist with those who happen to differ from them. They should be gentle. The Greek word carries the idea of willingness to yield, willingness to concede, willingness to forbear, willingness to make room for others. No, they are not overlords, which means, by implication, they are not above censure. You know, even when it comes to the matter of discipline, elders are not exempt from discipline. How do we know that? 1 Timothy 5 verses 20-21, in his discussion there of elders, Paul says, he says, those that sin, and the implication there is sin in such a manner as to harm the flock, he says they are to be rebuked publicly, that the rest may see and fear. We have the case of Peter being rebuked by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, where Paul says I had to rebuke him in the presence of all because he was not walking according to the truth of the gospel. They are not above censure. In fact, they are not above exhortation. Look at verse 1 of our text. Peter is an elder, and he's giving instruction to his fellow elders, which suggests that the elders are to be pliable. They are to be teachable. They are to be open to instruction and exhortation. And then thirdly, as regards their authority, not only is it that they are not just to be above the people, but among the people, they are not overlords. The third thing we need to realize from this passage is that they are simply shepherds, not the chief shepherd. In this regard, look at verse 2. They shepherd not, watch this, not their flock, but the flock of God. That is to say, the flock that belongs to God. Paul is addressing the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 verse 28. He speaks of this flock as the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You know, it's never a healthy practice for ministers, for elders, pastors to speak of my people. You know, I hear ministers speak, they talk about my people. I hear pastors speak of my deacons, my elders, my people, my church. No, they are God's people. And Peter says we are to shepherd the flock of God. Peter says it's the flock which he, God, purchased with his own blood. None of us arrogates to ourselves that which belongs to God. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, Paul, as he puts in proper perspective the status of elders in the church, says to the Corinthian believers, he says, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So elders are simply shepherds who are accountable and answerable to the chief shepherd. Watch this. He says, shepherd the flock of God among you, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. We could rightly say this and accurately say this in closing, that the Lord Jesus himself stands supremely, stands preeminently as the senior pastor of the church. Elders are merely under-shepherds. We're going to be wrapping up this afternoon. Some very important things he's going to say. We're going to look this afternoon at their ministry. And then we're going to look, thirdly, at the responsibility of the church to the elders.